This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is prime time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. We just gave you the update there over in Circa Million. Mike, you know, like it doesn't get the love that Survivor gets, but dude, this guy is 53-22 on the season leading this contest. There's somebody that started out the week 10-0. There are 30 others that have gone 9-1. I mean, it is a killer of a contest.
It is. You know the nice part? The dude in first, he will get money. Not all 10 Circus Survivors may get money still. Like, you can be knocked out there. You got to worry about how to hedge, how to make sure you get to make your entry profitable. If you are first right now with 3 weeks left in Circa Millions, you're going to at least cash, right? And you have that opportunity to get that $1 million prize at the top.
Yeah, just absolutely, absolutely unbelievable that it's like we talk about. I mean, listen, it is impressive to make it this far in Survivor, but to be 53-22 heading into week 16. Of the NFL,
you would assume if you were 53-22 or I was 53-22 in the contest, I'd be having a pretty good year.
Yeah,
outside of the contest as well, right? I mean, like if you're hitting at that level, Sunday is probably a pretty good day of the week for you.
Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own Greg Peterson at GUnit_81 over on the Twitter machine, of course, every single day over at VSiN.com as well. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I think that one of these years they need to do a college basketball contest where you have to pick every game every day on the spread and the total. Like those Saturdays, you're going to have 300 picks. The real challenge is going to be trying to get your picks in time because it's like, man, I have to check a lot of boxes here.
Yeah, the technology is going to have to increase for that, buddy. You're going to need some new technology there. AI, don't worry about it. We're getting there. It's no big deal. I want to go ahead and get to this one because we're tipping off here momentarily. North Texas and Santa Clara, you are betting this one.
Absolutely. I'm in on Santa Clara and the under. North Texas in a road/neutral court environment has yet to exceed 64 points this season. Will McClendon, one of their main guards, is out for the season due to injury. And Santa Clara is very good at generating turnovers. A top 55 team in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. Going against that North Texas offense has been outside the top 270. In terms of ball security. Also with Santa Clara, they've got the advantage on the glass. They've got a guy in Jake Amsinger who's been very under the radar because he gives you as many points as rebounds, but at 6'8", he's been able to dole out about 4.5 assists per game. It's not the same Santa Clara backcourt that we've seen in past seasons, but the forward play has been very good, and Cleveland's for Daniel Robinson, who comes over from Cleveland State, his teams have always had a tough time on the glass. So I think that Santa Clara should be able to win this game. I laid the number in. Right now I'm seeing that more around about 11 or so. It's got up a little bit since the write-up. Even at a 12, I'd be willing to lay it. And I'm in on the under as well, seeing that right around about a 140.
We've got one more tip tonight that you've got some action on. UT Arlington heading out to California to take on the Tree in Stanford. Right now, Stanford, a favorite here by double digits, seeing the total sitting right in the low 140s. What do you like in this spot?
I do like Stanford laying the number, mainly because UT Arlington just incredibly sloppy with the ball this year. They are back outside the top 340 in terms of ball security. Well over 20% of their possessions are resulting in a turnover. And you got a Stanford team that you're not going to get second chances on. For Stanford, in terms of their defensive rebound percentage, you're a top 30 team in the country. Fewer than 23.5% of misses by an opponent become an offensive rebound. And for UT Arlington, they have been very reliant upon those second and third chances. Also for Stanford, you've had Benny Giler do a nice job shooting it at about 46% from 3 points. UT Arlington, in their defense, they've been able to do a nice job in terms of guarding the 3-point line, but I just don't think it's realistic to continue to allow teams to shoot 25% from 3-point range. And then you've had for Stanford a lot of freshmen be able to step up for the team as well. Stanford has actually cranked up their tempo a little bit as well. Top 125 team in terms of total possessions per game. So seeing that total at a 140.5, I like the over and a modal A with Stanford.
All right, Greg, we're going to get to North Florida and Charleston Southern. But first, you have to tell me what the mascot is for North Florida and the name of the mascot.
Absolutely. For North Florida, it is the Osprey. I don't know the exact name of the Osprey himself.
It's Ozzy. Ozzy the Osprey. Now you know.
I was going to guess something.
You'll never forget that.
Probably was going to be Ozzy.
You'll never forget that now. If anyone asks you ever moving forward, you're going to be like, yeah, it's Ozzy the Osprey. So there you go.
And I always think of the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial where they were celebrating the Mighty Mighty Osprey as well. So I was hoping that there was something in there. But I do like the over in this spot with regards to the Mighty Mighty Osprey because, well, they have not been mighty with their defense. They're outside the top 350 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. And they're allowing teams to grab an offensive rebound on 46.2% of their missed shots. Like, I have never seen a stat that wild. Like, they are just allowing second chances, third chances, in some cases, fourth chances. And for Charleston Southern, their overall defense is actually halfway decent. 108th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. They do not generate any turnovers whatsoever. They are right at the bottom of all of college basketball in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. You've got two up-tempo teams. They're both in the top 70 in terms of total possessions per game. North Florida loves to go bombs away from three. Over 50% of their field goal attempts come from three. That is going to be an early game, by the way. So if you're looking to bet tomorrow's card, this one, I believe, tips at either 11 a.m. Eastern or noon Eastern. So get in those bets early. But I like the over. And at anything of 11 or more, I'd be willing to take the points with North Florida. Right now, I'm seeing that right around about 11 and a half.
We've got Northern Arizona taking on Southern Utah tomorrow in that classic border battle there as they'll fight for the control over the 4 points. Who do you like here, Northern Arizona and Southern Utah?
I'm going to be going with Northern Arizona. I did set them as a 9-point favorite. I was seeing this before coming on at a 5.5, so good value there with a Southern Utah team that they look to have teams take shots inside. They last year were number one in the country in terms of the lowest percentage of opponent shots that came from three-point range. They're back in the top 45 this year. Problem is they don't guard the inside very well. They're outside the top 275 in terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage. And for Northern Arizona, this has been a hit-or-miss team with regards to their three-point shooting as they lost their top three scorers from a season ago. But Zach Davidson has done a nice job stepping up, give the team 16 points, 5.5 rebounds. It's not the same rebounding team as it was a season ago, but they've got the edge over Southern Utah, who's got Jaden Ferraw, comes over from Holy Cross. He's been able to give you double figures, a pair of blocks down low, but Southern Utah also just doesn't shoot it well from three, and they turn the ball over a ton. Southern Utah outside the top 250 in terms of ball security. I think that that's going to be costly if you're looking at the over. I was seeing this total right around about 148.5 to 149. I like the under, and I'm going to lay it with the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks.
Let's go to Radford and William and Mary because I did Google where Radford is and what Radford even was. So that it is a college. it is in Radford.
In Virginia.
I didn't even know Radford was a city. So there we go. I learned something today. You helped me out, Greg, by betting this game. You made me a better person.
Absolutely, and I'm proud of that. And for Radford, they do have two former ACC guards in their backcourt. And I believe in their last game for the gentleman that comes over from NC State, he had 54 points. That was absolutely wild. But now they go up against a William & Mary team that they love to shoot the three-point shot. Brian Earle brings that system on over with them from Cornell, season number two of it. They're in the top 50 in terms of percentage of their shots that come from three-point range. And for this Radford team, they're outside the top 300 in terms of guarding the three-point line. Radford has also sped themselves up greatly. They used to be a very slow, very controlled team under their last few coaching regimes. They actually hire on Zach Chu in the offseason. He was sort of like a game manager for the Indiana Pacers, so comes on down from the NBA ranks. He's got this team playing a whole heck of a lot faster, but it has not resulted in necessarily clean possessions outside the top 225 in terms of ball security. They're not grabbing a lot of second and third chances outside the top 260 in terms of their overall rebound percentage. This total I was seeing at a 167.5 a little bit before. I do feel like that's getting a little bit high, even though these two teams play quite a bit up tempo, just because with Radford, they're not doing a great job taking care of the ball. But I do like William & Mary here. I'm seeing them as an 8-point favorite. I'd be willing to lay double figures with them.
Radford's out-of-state tuition is $35,000. What is this? I'm gonna assume it's all in-state people. I mean, you can't be paying $35K to go to Radford.
I'm thinking that it's like a
UW Oshkosh situation.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You might be able to play for the basketball team, though, Matt. Maybe you can get a scholarship playing for the basketball team there at Radford. Now, I'm a little disappointed because I know the mascots from both these schools. However, I will still let you talk about the game. We got Drake at Murray State tomorrow.
Absolutely. The Racers and the Bulldogs, and I'm going to be willing to take the points with Drake, and this is a classic tempo battle. You've got a Murray State team that's looking to gun it. They're living up to their name of being the Racers, a top 45 team in terms of total possessions per game. Drake hovering closer to about 290th, but I do think that Drake and their defense on the road going to be able to win out. They've been a top 40 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, away from them, top 25 team in terms of opponent's 2-point shooting percentage, and that's big with Murray State because Murray State is the number one team in the country right now in pushing things inside. Over 70% of opponents' field goal attempts come from 2-point range. That's because they bring in Frederick King, who used to be over at Creighton, and they're coaching Ryan Miller. He was an assistant over at Creighton. That's why he's brought over with him a few different guys, including Mason Miller, who shot it well from three. But for Drake, I do think that they're going to be able to hold up defensively in this game. And for Drake, it's sort of make it and take it basketball. Drake is a top 50 team in terms of taking care of the ball, in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis, outside the top 300 in terms of generating turnovers. They're looking to just play in your grill, slow it down sort of basketball in general. I do think that that's going to be enough for them to hold in this game. So I like the under, and I do like the points here with Drake.
He is Greg Peterson at G_Unit81 over on the Twitter machine, of course. Right here on this network and over at VSiN.com every single day. If you want to get his picks, he has more of them up over there. So visit VSiN.com right now. Greg, appreciate the time as always, and good luck, buddy.
Always appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Greg Peterson in that college basketball. Did you know Radford was a city? Did you know that before I said that?
I did not know Radford was a city. No, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Radford. It's a 35K? Right. Is that what out of state tuition costs these days?
I don't even want to look at what tuition. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I don't want to know how much I'm going
to
be paying. For
you don't have to worry about that. College ain't going to exist by then. Anyway, it won't matter. We don't have to worry about that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, 10 years from now, no big deal. Don't go anywhere. It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. We just gave you the update there over in Circa Million. Mike, you know, like it doesn't get the love that Survivor gets, but dude, this guy is 53-22. On the season leading this contest. There are somebody that started out the week 10-0. There are 30 others that have gone 9-1. I mean, it is a killer of a contest.
It is. You know the nice part? The dude in first, he will get money. Not all 10 Circus Survivors may get money still. Like, you can be knocked out there. You got to worry about how to hedge, how to make sure you get to make your entry profitable. If you are first right now with 3 weeks left in Circa Millions, you're going to at least cash, right? And you have that opportunity to get that $1 million prize at the top.
Yeah, just absolutely, absolutely unbelievable that it's like we talk about. I mean, listen, it is impressive to make it this far in Survivor, but to be 53-22 heading into week 16 of the NFL,
you would assume if you were 53-22 or I was 53-22 in the contest, I'd be having a pretty good year.
Yeah,
outside of the contest as well, right? I mean, exactly. Like if you're hitting at that level, Sunday is probably a pretty good day of the week for you.
Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own Greg Peterson at GUnit_81 over on the Twitter machine. Of course, every single day over at VSiN.com as well. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I think that one of these years they need to do a college basketball contest where you have to pick every game every day on the spread and the total. Like those Saturdays, you're going to have 300 picks. The real challenge is going to be trying to get your picks in time because it's like, man, I have to check a lot of boxes here.
Yeah, the technology is going to have to increase for that, buddy. You're going to need some new technology there. AI, don't worry about it. We're getting there. It's no big deal. I want to go ahead and get to this one because we're tipping off here momentarily. North Texas and Santa Clara, you are betting this one.
Absolutely. I'm in on Santa Clara and the under. North Texas in a road/neutral court environment has yet to exceed 64 points this season. Will McClendon, one of their main guards, is out for the season due to injury. And Santa Clara is very good at generating turnovers. A top 55 team in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. Going against that North Texas offense has been outside the top 270. in terms of ball security. Also with Santa Clara, they've got the advantage on the glass. They've got a guy in Jake Amsinger who's been very under the radar because he gives you as many points as rebounds. But I mean, at 6'8", he's been able to dole at about 4.5 assists per game. It's not the same Santa Clara backcourt that we've seen in past seasons, but the forward play has been very good. And Cleveland's for Daniel Robinson, who comes over from Cleveland State, his teams have always had a tough time on the glass. So I think that Santa Clara should be able to win this game. I laid the number in. Right now I'm seeing that more around about 11 or so. It's got up a little bit since the write-up. Even at a 12, I'd be willing to lay it. And I'm in on the under as well, seeing that right around about a 140.
We've got one more tip tonight that you've got some action on. UT Arlington heading out to California to take on the Tree in Stanford. Right now, Stanford, a favorite here by double digits, seeing the total sitting right in the low 140s. What do you like in this spot?
I do like Stanford laying the number, mainly because UT Arlington just incredibly sloppy with the ball this year. They are back outside the top 340 in terms of ball security. Well over 20% of their possessions are resulting in a turnover. And you got a Stanford team that you're not going to get second chances on. For Stanford, in terms of their defensive rebound percentage, you're a top 30 team in the country. Fewer than 23.5% of misses by an opponent become an offensive rebound. And for UT Arlington, they have been very reliant upon those second and third chances. Also for Stanford, you've had Benny Giler do a nice job shooting it at about 46% from 3-point. UT Arlington, in their defense, they've been able to do a nice job in terms of guarding the 3-point line, but I just don't think it's realistic to continue to allow teams to shoot 25% from 3-point range. And then you've had for Stanford, a lot of freshmen be able to step up for this team as well. Stanford has actually cranked up their tempo a little bit as well. Top 125 team in terms of total possessions per game. So seeing that total at a 140.5, I like the over and a modal A with Stanford.
All right, Greg, we're going to get to North Florida and Charleston Southern. But first, you have to tell me what the mascot is for North Florida and the name of the mascot.
Absolutely. For North Florida, it is the Osprey. I don't know the exact name of the Osprey himself.
It's Ozzy. Ozzy the Osprey. There, now you know.
You'll never guess something.
You'll never forget that.
Probably was going to be Ozzy.
You'll never forget that now. If anyone asks you ever moving forward, you're going to be like, yeah, it's Ozzy the Osprey. So there you go.
And I always think of the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial where they were celebrating the mighty, mighty Osprey as well. So I was hoping that was something in there. But I do like the over in this spot with regards to the mighty, mighty Osprey because, well, they have not been mighty with their defense. They're outside the top 350 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. And they're allowing teams to grab an offensive rebound on 46.2% of their missed shots. Like, I have never seen a stat that wild. Like, they are just allowing second chances, third chances, in some cases, fourth chances. And for Charleston Southern, their overall defense is actually halfway decent. 108th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They do not generate any turnovers whatsoever. They are right at the bottom of all of college basketball in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. You've got two up-tempo teams. They're both in the top 70 in terms of total possessions per game. North Florida loves to go bombs away from three. Over 50% of their field goal attempts come from three. That is going to be an early game, by the way. So if you're looking to bet tomorrow's card, this one I believe tips at either 11 a.m. Eastern or noon Eastern. So get in those bets early. But I like the over, and at anything of 11 or more, I'd be willing to take the points with North Florida. Right now I'm seeing that right around about 11.5.
We've got Northern Arizona taking on Southern Utah tomorrow in that classic border battle there as they'll fight for the control over the 4 points. Who do you like here, Northern Arizona and Southern Utah?
I'm going to be going with Northern Arizona. I did set them as a 9-point favorite. I was seeing this before coming on at a 5.5, so good value there with a Southern Utah team that they look to have teams take shots inside. They last year were number one in the country in terms of the lowest percentage of opponent shots that came from 3-point range. They're back in the top 45 this year. Problem is they don't guard the inside very well. They're outside the top 275 in terms of opponent's 2-point shooting percentage. And for Northern Arizona, this has been a hit or miss team with regards to their 3-point shooting as they lost their top three scorers from a season ago. But Zach Davidson has done a nice job stepping up, give the team 16 points, 5.5 rebounds. It's not the same rebounding team as it was a season ago, but they've got the edge over Southern Utah, who's got Jaden Ferreira, comes over from Holy Cross. He's been able to give you double figures, a pair of blocks down low, but Southern Utah also just doesn't shoot it well from three, and they turn the ball over a ton. Southern Utah outside the top 250 in terms of ball security. I think that that's going to be costly if you're looking at the over. I was seeing this total right around about 148.5 to 149. I like the under, and I'm going to lay it with the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks.
Let's go to Radford and William and Mary, because I did Google where Radford is and what Radford even was. So that it is a college. it is in Radford.
In Virginia.
In Virginia. I didn't even know Radford was a city. So there we go. I learned something today. You helped me out, Greg, by betting this game. You made me a better person.
Absolutely. And I'm proud of that. And for Radford, they do have two former ACC guards in their backcourt. And I believe in their last game for the gentleman that comes over from NC State, he had 54 points. That was absolutely wild. But now they go up against a William and Mary team that they love to shoot the 3-point shot. Brian Earle brings that system on over with them from Cornell, season number 2 of it. They're in the top 50 in terms of percentage of their shots that come from 3-point range. And for this Radford team, they are outside the top 300 in terms of guarding the 3-point line. Radford has also sped themselves up greatly. They used to be a very slow, very controlled team under their last few coaching regimes. They actually hire on Zach Chu in the offseason. He was sort of like a game manager for the Indiana Pacers, so comes on down from the NBA ranks. He's got this team playing a whole heck of a lot faster, but it's not resulted in necessarily clean possessions outside the top 225 in terms of ball security. They're not grabbing a lot of second and third chances outside the top 260 in terms of their overall rebound percentage. This total I was seeing at a 167.5 a little bit before. I do feel like that's getting a little bit high, even though these two teams play quite a bit up tempo, just because with Radford, they're not doing a great job taking care of the ball. But I do like William and Mary here. I'm seeing them as an 8-point favorite. I'd be willing to lay double figures with them.
Radford's out-of-state tuition is $35,000. What is this? I'm gonna assume it's all in-state people. I mean, you can't be paying $35,000 to go to Radford.
I'm thinking that it's like a UW Oshkosh situation.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You might be able to play for the basketball team though, Matt. Maybe you can get a scholarship playing for the basketball team there at Radford. Now, I'm a little disappointed because I know the mascots from both these schools. However, I will still let you talk about the game. We got Drake at Murray State tomorrow.
Absolutely. The Racers and the Bulldogs, and I'm going to be willing to take the points with Drake. And this is a classic tempo battle. You've got a Murray State team that's looking to gun it. They're living up to their name of being the Racers, a top 45 team in terms of total possessions per game. Drake hovering closer about 290th, but I do think that Drake and their defense on the road going to be able to win out. They've been a top 40 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis away from them. Top 25 team in terms of opponents' 2-point shooting percentage. And that's big with Murray State because Murray State is the number one team in the country right now in pushing things inside. Over 70% of opponents' field goal attempts come from 2-point range. That's because they bring in Frederick King, who used to be over at Creighton, and they're coaching Ryan Miller. He was an assistant over at Creighton. That's why he's brought over with him a few different guys, including Mason Miller, who shot it well from three. But for Drake, I do think that they're going to be able to hold up defensively in this game. And for Drake, it's sort of make it and take it basketball. Drake is a top 50 team in terms of taking care of the ball, in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis, outside the top 300 in terms of generating turnovers. They're looking to just play in your grill, slow it down sort of basketball in general. I do think that that's going to be enough for them to hold in this game. So I like the under, and I do like the points here with Drake.
He is Greg Peterson at G_Unit_81 over on the Twitter machine, of course. Right here on this network and over at VSiN.com every single day. If you want to get his picks, he has more of them up over there. So visit VSiN.com right now. Greg, appreciate the time as always, and good luck, buddy.
Always appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Greg Peterson in that college basketball. Did you know Radford was a city? Did you know that before I said that?
I did not know Radford was a city. No, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a $35K? Right. Is that what out of state tuition costs these days?
I don't even want to look at what tuition. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I don't want to know how much I'm going to be paying.
You don't have to worry about that. College ain't going to exist, by the way. Anyway, it won't matter. We don't have to worry about that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, 10 years from now, no big deal. Don't go anywhere. It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Prime time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Sumish. Going to get into the NFL here in just a second. Greg Peterson, just a walking encyclopedia of college basketball.
It's pretty impressive, man. From the location of the colleges, the players' names, the fact
he didn't know Ozzie, though. He didn't know Ozzie the Osprey.
I said, players' names, not mascot names. You're getting a little like if you asked who the center is for Radford, he'd be able to tell you like that. The fact that you do a podcast of every game every day, like there's hundreds of games on Saturday. It's crazy.
Yeah, just I don't even, I can't even, my brain hurts even thinking about doing that. Dude, I only, I'm like deep into the weeds just in these NFL games every, I'm tired. Like I get tired doing it. I can't even imagine doing college basketball every single day.
Well, then, and then like prepping for Sunday after watching all of the college basketball Saturday too. Cause like you're then interested in 100+ games on Saturday that you then need to go and recap and figure out how you're going to adjust the ratings for these teams. It's just insane. It's crazy, man. Kudos to him. I couldn't do it.
I could not do it either. Let's start running through some of these NFL games, and certainly we'll do a nice big preview here of what we're going to see tomorrow night. It is the Rams and the Seahawks. This is anywhere from pretty much 1.5, 2. And really the only twos out here behind me in favor of Seattle, 42.5. The total out there in the market right now. Devontae Adams, doubtful. Typically means out anyway, and certainly means out on a short week. So he's not going to play here in this one. And so, Mike, I mean, I don't know how you look at this offense without Devontae Adams. I mean, he's having a perfectly fine season, but he's really been the most important to this team in the red zone.
Yeah, he's been a huge part of the red zone attack. The number of one-yard touchdowns he has is absolutely amazing. He's great if you get him in man-to-man. And Stafford loves passing on the run to be able to throw the football out on a quick slant or a slant and go, anything that he can get out there on the edge to Devontae Adams when he has that single coverage. Obviously, that affects the Rams. Now, I'm not sure it affects them that much in the red zone, as you may think, because they do have a very good red zone run game here with both Kyren Williams and with Blake Corum. I think they're going to have success being able to push that running game in the red zone. For me, the bigger part here is the coverage role that you're going to see to Puka Nacua. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a lot of three tight end sets here to try and set up Colby Parkinson and set up some of the other tight ends here for the offense, as well as get bigger to be able to run the football. This is a tough one for me, Matt. I mean, I have slight value on the Rams now that we're here at 2, because I don't think that this should be a, like, you're giving a full 2 for the home, and I have the Rams slightly power rated higher than the Seahawks at this point. So for me, it would be Rams or pass at this number. I do like this as a teaser, like if you want to kick off your week with a little teaser action.
So I'm wondering, and you can let me know what you think here with this. So you and I follow the injury reports obviously very closely, and people who are betting a ton are following these injury reports. Do you think there's a possibility that the vast majority of people that are going to be betting this game have not heard about the Devontae Adams stuff yet? Like, is there a world that exists where we can get this thing to 3? Like, when it is official that he's out, because he's not ruled out yet, right? That's the difference. Like, they didn't get the push notification that Devontae Adams is out in this game. It's like, you will 90 minutes before game time.
Maybe you'll see some public move on it, but I actually think the public is more likely to back the Rams in this spot with or without Devontae Adams, just because of the Sam Darnold effect. I think a lot of people are scared to bet Sam Darnold in this game, and that means that you may see that the Rams is a public dog despite not having Devontae Adams.
Colby Parkinson sitting at 38.5 yards in this game, Mike. I think it is a smash spot for Parkinson. It's you look at this defense that you and I love for Seattle. They do have a weakness. You know what that weakness is? It is right over the middle to tight ends. And Parkinson has become a favorite of Stafford as it is anyway. And now you take away Devontae Adams. I think Parkinson is actually the biggest beneficiary as opposed to some other receiver. I actually, like, Puka's going to just get what he gets regardless. Like, he's going to get his targets and stuff no matter what. I don't think Devontae Adams being out means more targets for Puka Nacua, and I don't think it actually means necessarily more targets for any of these other actual wide receivers, but I think Parkinson is the one who really, really gets the biggest boost here.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think we're going to see a lot of three tight end sets. And that means Parkinson on the field more and running more routes, because if you are keeping extra protectors in, you've got two other tight ends that can stay in, which allows Parkinson to be able to sneak out. You can even split him out wide and get him single coverage against a cornerback and make sure you're not going to double Parkinson if he's out there. So it gives you advantageous matchups as well. I actually like the Blake Corum rushing number. It's 37.5. Give me the over here. Blake Corum has been getting more and more of the workload. And if you look at the rushing totals right now, 55 for Kyren Williams, 37 for Corum. That's assuming about a 70-30 split in the backfield. I don't think it's as big of a 70-30 split at this point. Corum getting more and more carries. He's also getting complete drives now. So we saw him come in at the start of the third quarter. When you're getting those situations, I don't think you should be as low as 37.5. So I'll take Blake Corum over 37.5 rushing as well.
So one of the interesting things that, if you read a bunch of the beat reporter stuff, and again, I have an awesome curated list. If you want to go over on the Twitter machine and follow the list that I have, a bunch of really trusted sources, hadn't really swayed me the wrong direction over the last few years. Mike, there is a lot of buzz about Kanata Mumpfield actually being the person, if there was a wide receiver to get a bump in all this, not Whittington, not Tutu Atwell, but Mumpfield. The beat writer said that he was told that Mumpfield was actually kind of the apprentice to Davante Adams, and that Adams has kind of like taken him under his wing, and that he's trying to kind of almost style his game after Davante Adams and all of that. And so I think that there is a world that exists. By the way, he's not even up at DraftKings. So you would have to search around elsewhere. Maybe he gets posted tomorrow or something, but there is at least some sort of sentiment that he might actually be the person that gets the extra looks.
Yeah. 5-1 to score a touchdown, 25-1 to score first touchdown, 45-1 for two touchdowns. That's the only market he's currently listed on DraftKings. So if you do want to try and find somewhere to take advantage of that, touchdown score 5-1 seems a little short, I'm going to be honest, at 5-1, just because you've got both of those running backs. You've got Puka Nacua, you've got Parkinson. But if you want to take a flyer, 25-1 for first touchdown, I don't hate that.
Oh, is this real life? So the only place that has up a yards thing right now, I'm going to actually, you know, I know this is not great for a lot of people out there whenever I have to open the phone and look at stuff. But here's the thing. I need to confirm this before I say it out loud, because if this is the case, then we're going to smash the button here, Mike. And then...
I hope...
Yeah.
I want to say something just about this specific style of bet. Yeah. So with Mumpfield, if I am betting this, I know we don't love talking about ladders, platter this, ladder that. He is a guy I would want to ladder, because your edge is this week. It's when Davante Adams is out. It's on the short week. Your edge is not going to be in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks. It is right now. And so if you find a market where he is listed in the teens, right, in that the 12, 13 range, you want to play the over, but then you also want to play 25 plus. You want to play 40 plus. You want to try and capitalize on it as much as possible if you believe you do have accurate and good information.
So it is true. So I'll say it right now. I'll let you know I'm going to bet it right now. And you know, if you guys want to go along. Mumpfield is only listed currently at MGM. 8.5 yards.
Do they have alts? Do they have the little slider where 10 plus, 20 plus, 30 plus?
I'm just looking
at... Because that's where I would want to... That's where I would want... Like, I agree with you, bet the 8.5. Don't, like... But I would want to make sure I play to the upside. Because this is a situation where if you get... You're going to get a great number at 20, a great number at 30, because of how low that receiving total is. And that's where your real value from this is.
Yeah, so that just went into the account for me. No alts. You know how they have like the little 25 plus, 50 plus, 75 plus, whatever that you can do that. He's not listed there. And I think it's because there's a little protection here, obviously. Because, I mean, they're the only book.
That's why you take advantage of it.
Yeah, like they're the only book that even has him listed.
Right.
And they put it 8.5 yards.
That's when you have books protecting themselves, that means it's usually a good place to attack. Right. Like where, you know, they're like, hey, we don't want to give you a 25 number, because if you look at other players that are listed at 8.5, the 25 number is going to get you plus 400. Right.
Yeah.
Plus 500. And like they don't want to offer that with someone who could end up with those targets.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a good bet regardless, because he did when Davante Adams left that game. I mean, he was the one that was out on the field kind of getting the extra snaps. I imagine he sees a decent amount of snaps. Now, whether Stafford throws him the ball or not, who knows? We can't say that, but I think he's going to be out there running routes. Guys, ProfitX is a prediction market out there launching 7 days of ProfitXmas giveaway from Christmas Day to New Year's. You can win 7 different prizes by making a $50 play on any college football first round game on December 19th or 20th. Every $50 qualifying play earns you additional entries. Prizes include clothing, brand, gift cards, even a $500 credit towards your rent or mortgage. So go in, download ProfitX, use promo code VEASAN to get started over there with that one. There is some very interesting updates to the awards market out there. We're going to see if there's anything we want to throw into the account. MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and more.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is primetime here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Appreciate you guys being with us here on this Wednesday as we break down our Thursday night football look here. Mike, to put a bow on that, I think I'll hold out and see if there's any world that exists where this thing gets to 3. I don't think it probably does, but I'll see. And because, I mean, at the end of the day, would you rather have 2 than 1.5? Of course. But I mean, like, you know, 1.5, 2, something like that. Like, I don't really care all that much. And so, I don't know. Maybe I just end up playing the Rams on the money line. If I don't get the 3, I might just play them outright.
Yeah, look, if you want a 3, you better be sitting by your computer all day tomorrow. Because as soon as it hits, that thing's going away. You probably have about a 5 to 15 minute window where you're going to see 3s if they come available. I would be very surprised if at any point you see a 3 hit. To me, if you want to play the Rams, I don't mind the 2. I don't mind the money line. I think it's a good teaser leg. I will have the Rams bet in some way, shape, or form tomorrow. I just have not figured out how I will do so yet.
So we talked about some of the markets last week that we thought might be exploitable. We thought about some of the numbers that were going to move. They did, in fact, all move. They did, in fact, play out exactly like we said. Josh Allen all the way down to the best price you can find in the market is 6-1 on Josh Allen. Right now, it is basically a 3-horse race. As we said, Josh Allen, Drake May, Matthew Stafford. Stafford, the best price in the market you can find is -260, Mike. The best price you can find on Drake May is +425. Remember, we said, if you like the Bills, hold out. Drake May sitting there at 2-1. Going to be better for you if the Bills win. And Josh Allen, take a piece of him now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here we are. I have fully built the portfolio. I'm done. So I took the Josh Allen that we saw last week at 17-1 was the best price out in the market. Again, now it's 6-1, the best you can get. I waited, let the Drake May number get to 4-1, have the 4-1, and I've got the 50-1 on Stafford. I'm done. I don't think anyone else can come out of nowhere to get this done. What say you? And by the way, does what happens tomorrow night, can Stafford play his way out of this tomorrow night, or are they going to give him benefit of the doubt without Devontae Adams out there?
I think he can play his way out of it tomorrow night. I think he can win the award tomorrow night as well. I think if the Rams win tomorrow, Stafford has the inside track to be the number one seed in the NFC and the very heavy inside track to win the MVP award. If they lose tomorrow night and Stafford has a bad game because of it, all bets are off. I think it goes to the winner of the AFC East, either Allen or May. And May has the opportunity this week to take on Baltimore in what is going to be a very public game. That's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it. That is going to give him another big push back. So if Stafford loses, I think May has the opportunity this week to be able to make a big push. If both of them lose, then Allen is there. But I do think these are correctly priced from a 1-2-3 perspective. Stafford probably should be a little shorter than -300. I think that's a little aggressive considering that he's a dog tomorrow night. And if he loses that game, it opens the door for May and Allen. Mm. But at the same time, I'm not running to the window to get a May or Allen ticket if I didn't have anything else in my account.
But we can feel confident, though, that this race is over between these three guys. Like, it's not Bo Nix, Jordan Love, any of that. Like, there's no world those guys, like, get in the mix.
It feels like if Love had won last week, he could have entered the conversation. If that Green Bay team had gotten hot down the stretch, I don't think Bo Nix gets enough credit, even if they went out. Up in Denver. So I think it's hard for me to make a case for him. You look down the list. Is there a case you can make for Caleb Williams? I don't think so. Herbert, I don't think so. I think there is one for Sam Darnold. I don't think enough people will listen for him to be voted to win the award, right? I think that there's too much of a stigma that is not going to allow people to get to the window on Sam Darnold. So I agree with you. I think it is down to those top three right now.
So over an offensive rookie of the year, this is the most hotly contested race that you can still get to right now. I don't know if there's an edge in this. That's why I wanted to bring it up to see if you think so. Travion Henderson, best price you can find, plus 190. Emeka Ekwuka, best price you can find, plus 250. Tet McMillan, plus 280 out there. Jackson Dart, 6-1, and then everybody else, 25-1 or longer. Tyler Warren, I think, could have played himself into this had Daniel Jones continued, but like I don't think that that's going to happen here. So it looks like we're four deep, but four pretty short prices in all of this. So the market is at least telling us that this is still very much up for grabs.
Yeah, it definitely is up for grabs. And I if you gave me 100 Matt bucks, mm-hmm. and maybe I put 100 Mike bucks on this, mm-hmm. Tyler Shuck, 25-1, jokingly referenced him as the offensive rookie of the year earlier during the show. Now I'm not so jokingly going to make the case for him, as he has won his last two games. Did you look at the rest of the New Orleans schedule, Matt?
Yeah, no.
Versus sure. Jets, at Titans, at Falcons. This Saints team could win five in a row to close out the year. Tyler Shuck is going to be one of the reasons. He's actually played really well the last two. Like, if you go watch the last two games, he's actually been legitimately good in both of those football games. I expect they beat the Jets this week. That gives them a three-game winning streak. And then you're on the road and at home to close out the season. If they can go five in a row, I think him at 25-1 is a good price.
So that's okay. Well, that's an issue. You throw that into the mix here, I guess. I guess I was going to ask you, with him being a quarterback just in general, if Jackson Dart at 6-1 was the play, but obviously you think it shook at 25-1 as opposed to Jackson Dart at 6-1.
I do. I think he's the play. First off, beat the Giants earlier in the season. Now that was not a Dart game. It was a Dart game. So you have a head-to-head matchup there where Shuck beat Dart. I also don't know how many more games the Giants win. They have the Raiders, but the other two are versus the Vikings and versus the Cowboys. It seems like he gets a concussion check every week as well. So there's a little bit of a concern of, are we going to see Jackson Dart through all three of those football games? For me, I would rather go the Tyler Shuck route here at a much bigger price than Jackson Dart. And you still get a quarterback who has a chance of closing the season on a five-game win streak.
Then over in the offensive player of the year market, Mike, this is overwhelmingly in favor of JSN right now. Minus 475 is the best price you can get. Jonathan Taylor still holding on. I don't know why people keep betting. He's still at 9-1 is the best price in the market out there. But Puka Nacua, as we said, fell all the way to 15 after his performance last week. We get the head-to-head with these dudes tomorrow night. Is this still bettable? Like, could Jaxon Smith-Njigba come up with a four-catch, 47-yard touchdownless game and Puka go for 10, 130 and a touchdown and this thing is like much, much closer?
To me, it is down to just those two. Mm-hmm. I don't think that McCaffrey can win. I think Gibbs got pushed back because of the Rams game where Puka went nuts. So to me, it is just JSN and Puka now.
I don't believe in Taylor. Like, it's just the ship sailed there. Yeah.
Look, I think they're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or they're going to get the last seed. Like, they're going to end this season with a very, very kind of puttering out, if you will, right?
Yeah.
That's hurts his candidacy. Christian McCaffrey, I think you could make an argument, but the fact of the matter is McCaffrey's running back numbers actually not that great. He's been phenomenal as a wide receiver, and he's got a bunch of touchdowns, but his actual running back EPA metrics, not wonderful. I do think it's down to Puka and JSN. We talked about betting Puka before last week, though. Yeah. If you didn't bet him at 35-1, it's hard for me to say, well, run into your account, bet him at 15. He still should be the dog in this market. It would only be Puka or pass for me. I'm not betting JSN minus 475 when you got this head-to-head matchup with a quarterback I trust much more behind Puka than behind JSN. For me, this is a pass at current numbers because you didn't get the 35-1 last week.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, like, I do believe that if you're just parachuting in and you want a sweat, that Puka's the bet to make. And, like, this could be over tomorrow night. Just understand you might be making a 24-hour bet here in this one, because if JSN goes off, he's going to win. But there is a world that exists where he has a four catch 47-yard game that doesn't score, and Puka Nacua has another 10 catch 130-yard touchdown, maybe two touchdown games, and now you're going to wake up on Friday morning and Puka Nacua is going to be about 3-1.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if this does play out as a Rams victory where Nacua has a big day, because I am fascinated to see how much fluctuation we see inside this specific market, because JSN clearly ahead of Puka Nacua. I don't know if it's as much, again, as the numbers currently say, but clearly in the front runner's seat. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
And then coach of the year real quick, Vrabel plus 135, McDonald plus 475, Cohen down to plus 550, as we kind of estimated that would be the case. Ben Johnson sitting at 650, Shanahan at 750. So this tightened up a ton. I did go ahead and take our own advice and put in a Cohen ticket. Now, do I think he can actually win it? I mean, look, what Vrabel's done so far is very impressive. You and I think they could win this week. I would probably lock it up, but I mean, they are dogs, and so I think this one is still very, very wide open, weirdly enough.
Yeah, it's absolutely wide open. It all comes down to what you believe the Patriots will do this weekend. If they win, I think this is Vrabel's award, because it most likely means they win that division. Now, Liam Cohen and Kyle, and is awfully interesting with Sean Payton here, because they play each other this week. The winner of that game is going to boost themselves up quite a bit. Cohen sitting right there at two. If Jacksonville wins and New England loses, all of a sudden that's interesting. I still don't hate D'Amico Ryans at 75-1. Yeah. I realize it is a crazy thing. Very small pizza bet here. They could win out and end the season on a ridiculous win streak. If a couple stumble, 75-1 is a big number.
Dealt with a bunch of injuries and all of that stuff. Like, there's certainly paths to him getting there. We'll continue to roll through week 16 when we come back.